Today on Real Life Radio.
It's going to look so amazing, like God couldn't have done this. Only man could have done this. And look, if Nimrod built the Tower of Babel, then Mr. Antichrist built the Tower of Economic Commerce, and the world's going to be duped.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in his message called En Route to Babylon, Mankind's Final Stand, Part 2, continues his series called The Book of Revelation. Now here in chapter 18 of Revelation, we'll continue to see how Babylon is the center of a political, commercial, and economic system that is really quite prosperous, but focused on a life without God. You see, Babylon is not only a geographical area centered in basically Iraq, but also a system, a demonic system based out of Rome as the center place of politics and power of the coming world union. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that in the end, judgment will come quickly for Babylon. Its godless spirit will finally cease to exist, and only those who've chosen to follow Jesus Christ will be saved. And now in his message called En Route to Babylon, Mankind's Final Stand, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Everybody evacuated the office, and God spoke to him and said, turn around and go to the window. Turn around and go back to the window. He went back to the window, and he stood there, and that 21st century building stands in the shadow of the World Trade Centers. And as he was standing there, he saw human bodies go by as jumpers were leaping, and God told him, pray as they go. Why would God tell them to pray as they go? Why would he tell this man, stay, pray as you see them fall? Why? Because, my friend, I believe in a God who's there at the last minute, the last second for your soul. God doesn't waste anything. And if this man was praying for their souls, that tells me that there was at least one person. By the way, I think it was 56. He stood there and prayed for 66 bodies as they went by. And then God says, now go! And he ran out of the room all alone. After everybody had been rescued, he was all alone. Why at that number? I don't know why, but God knows why. Why did God have him pray? I don't know, but God knows why. Could it be that those 56 or 25 or 9 or 1 person going down said, Jesus, save me. Amazing. Judgment comes in an hour. Look at verse 9. The kings of the earth who committed fornication lived luxuriously with her and lamented for her. Well, it's not that they were in love with her. They were in love with what they got out of her. Now, what's interesting is that they're crying out, they lament when they see the smoke of her burning, standing, verse 10, at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour her judgment has come. Verse 11, and the merchants of the earth did weep and mourn over her, for no one buys her merchandise anymore. Or buys their merchandise, excuse me. Anymore. Not her merchandise. They're crying because nobody buys their merchandise anymore. This system, and I'm going to tell you, I stand kind of out there on this. Stand kind of alone on this. A lot of people think and say this is New York City, here mentioned in Scripture. That the Americans, via New York, they don't buy China stuff anymore. They're wiped out. That the shipmasters of the sea, well, what are we going to do? That this vast area has been destroyed. Who's going to buy our stuff? See, that's why they're crying. Man, we lost a major client here. I don't believe it's America. I don't believe it's England. I don't believe it's the European Union that's going to be based in Europe or is based in Europe. I believe something radical. Because the Bible mentions Babylon, because ancient Babylonianism began in Babylon, because I know the religious system is going to be in Rome. It already said that in chapter 17. And in a spiritual sense, it's going to reveal to us in future studies, the spiritual context is that in Jerusalem, politically based in Rome, spiritually based in Jerusalem, when the Antichrist declares himself to be God, where does he do that, the Bible says? In Jerusalem. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What's my odd belief? I believe literally in the Bible. I believe it's going to be Babylon. I believe it's going to be Iraq. You say, are you nuts? I might be nuts. But you know what? I base this upon the Bible. I think somehow, I don't know how, but somehow the area of Iraq today is going to somehow be rebuilt and become a major commercial focus of the world. I don't know how that's going to happen. But the ships, listen, whoever it is, they have to have access to the sea. And don't underestimate Iraq's little tiny sliver of land where they export vast majority of the world's oil out from that gulf. Somehow, I believe it is actually talking about our today Iraq. That's ancient Babylon. I believe that the world is going to pour its rebuilding efforts into Iraq, and it's going to explode. That's why I think they're going to give glory to the Antichrist. It's going to look so amazing, like God couldn't have done this. Only man could have done this. And look, if Nimrod built the Tower of Babel, then Mr. Antichrist built the Tower of Economic Commerce, and the world's going to be duped. They're going to say, who's like this guy? Look, you guys, are you with me? I'm not asking you to agree with me. I know it's radical, but check it out. The world is going to hail him as God. That's in the Bible. Something really big is going to come down for them, the world, to hail him as God in human flesh. Isn't that radical? Something to think about. Keep your eye on Iraq. It's going to get built up, and it's going to become an economic commerce center, in my opinion. And Europe is going to have a lot to do with it. I know they don't right now. Watch what happens to the European Union and Iraq. It's going to blow your mind. Well, check this out. Look at verse 11. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Everyone get ready. Get your shopping list out, because we're going to go to the Mall of America. A Mall of the World. We're going to the Mall of the World. First floor, jewelry department. Verse 12. Merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, and pearls. Notice this. This is import-export talk. The ships bring it in. You say, well, Iraq doesn't have pearls. They will. Or whatever area this, they're going to have pearls shipped in. They're going to have gold. They're going to have silver. You see this? Do you see how specific the Bible is? The ships are going to come from all over the world bringing what? They're going to be bringing gold, silver, precious stones, and pearls. Because no one buys them anymore, that's why the ship sailors are all ticked off. Okay, what else are they ticked off about? Well, the elevator opens up to the second floor. Linens and things. Fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet. Check that out. Don't tell me that's not important. I was at Great Indoors last night while Lisa's trying to, is this one on sale? They're having a sale. Is this sheet on sale? How about this? Is this duvet comforter? Is this one on sale? I told her, you know what? We got to go. You guys, you women are amazing. So you're feeling like this. Is it talking to you when you do that? What do you do when you... Fine linen. And I see her gears going. We didn't even go there for that. We went there for a dishwasher. You know, it's sad. I saw a lot of you there, too. We were talking. And she's like, what do you think of this? What do I think of this? What do you mean, what do I think of this? I don't know, think anything about that. I don't think about this. It's nothing to think about. White is great. White. Just get white. You know, and that's weird. The door rings, the door opens again, shopping at the third floor, home furnishings, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble. That's home furnishings. That's the expo store. No one buys this stuff anymore from that system. Look, it's a system that is going to need all this stuff. Don't underestimate Iraq. If it's built up, it's going to need condos and houses and golf courses and sprinkler supplies and concrete, electrical, trees. Man, it needs trees. all that stuff. Look, we stop in the mall. We go to the fourth floor, gourmet food. We all love this one. Have you noticed every mall has got a food court in it now? I don't know how gourmet it is, but there's some pretty cool stuff you can buy. Look at this. At this mall, you can get cinnamon, incense. I don't know what to do with that. I must have typed that. Franken oil. I got Franken oil. I messed it up. Frankincense, oil, wine, fine flour, wheat. A little health food store thing going there. Little Henry's Market happening. Look at the next floor, fifth floor, automotive section, transportation, cattle, sheep, horses, and there it is for the BMW, chariots. No one buys this stuff anymore. You guys, yesterday I saw a BMW 76iU. I've never seen one before in my life. The guy was getting it washed at the car wash. It looked like a spaceship. What is it? A 760iU. And it came out of the car wash, and people are going, what is this? And everyone's looking at it. It had a total custom paint job, these whacked out wheels. I mean, it looks crazy. And there's this guy, he had to be 24 years old. And he's got his headphones are almost flying off his head. And he had a sweatsuit on. He's probably a professional athlete. He's about 6'5". Too short to be a basketball player, but maybe he's one of the Angel baseball or Dodger. But it's... and his car's coming out, and he's... and the guy got done, and everyone's looking at this thing, and he gets in it and just takes away. And everyone's looking. Whoa. Hey, when this thing comes crashing down, BMW will not be selling cars to Baghdad or Iraq. And the Bavarian Motor Works are going to go, man, no one buys our stuff anymore. In 1 hour, all this stuff happened. Messed up our everything. Look at the final floor. This is the worst floor of all. They traffic in the bodies and the souls of men. This is a very difficult passage to interpret. Because if you pick up an old book, I got a book that's about 300 years old. And I went to a commentary on this topic. And the guy says here, that just as slavery ravages our world today, slavery will ravage the world then. Well, that was from his perspective. More modern day scholars with more evidence have found out that the words here constructed allude to marketing and selling people based upon desire. Ooh, that sounds awful scary in international trade today. What's one of the biggest markets in black market trading? Especially when the curtain came down, the Iron Curtain, Russia began exporting beautiful women to the world in the black market for sale. Thousands of dollars based upon their shape and their youth. Did you know that? Sad to say, do you know what nation bought more Russian women than anyone? No, not America, Israel. Isn't that a shock? I thought that shocked me. Second was the Oriental countries. Trafficking in the souls of, in the bodies of men. A lot of modern day Bible scholars say that this word also refers to the fact of pornographic lifestyle and trade, using people as slaves. And for that, America is number one in the world. The city of Los Angeles, specifically, of all things, the city of Northridge has more pornographic manufacturing studios than any place on the planet. Did you know that? You got to wonder if that earthquake ever had anything to do with it. Verse 16 says, and alas, alas, the great city is clothed in fine linen and purple and adorned with all these precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour her great riches come to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade upon the sea stood at a distance. They're scared to death. Verse 18, and they cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? They threw dust in their heads and cried out. These are obviously these who are standing on the earth, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city in which all the ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she's made desolate. Verse 20, rejoice. Notice the shift. The announcement goes to heaven now. Rejoice, O over her, O heaven, and you apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Then a mighty angel stood up with a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea. And listen to what he said. Thus with violence, the great city Babylon will be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. We know this is prophetic, my friend. Mark it. There'll be some that try to deceive you. It will never again be inhabited. Right now it is. That means this event in Revelation still has to happen. There are people saying that the book of Revelation is already completed. That's impossible, based upon just this verse alone. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in her anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of the millstone shall not be found in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery, wow, this is why I lean back towards Babylon. By your demonic doctrines, the ancient Babylonian system, all the nations were deceived. But in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who were slain on the earth. Verse 24 speaks about that Babylonian system in all of its totality. Wow, what a tremendous stuff. What bad news. What a horrible chapter for those who will endure this. Don't you agree? How many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. We're all done. Raise your hand. Look at you. You're not going to see this chapter. We're going to miss it. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, the church is removed from the earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 tells us that the Lord's going to come back without us knowing about it. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, he's going to take his church up and receive them unto himself. And then will be the fulfillment of that time of great tribulation. And Jesus said in Luke 21, 36, pray that you'll be found to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth. How do you escape those things? Listen, will persecution come? Yes. Is it now coming? Yes. Is it coming to us? It's rolling. It's on its way. Those of you who are Lord of the Rings fans, by the way, written by a Christian, J.R.R. Tolkien, wonderful believer in God, had a great influence over leading C.S. Lewis to Christ. Tolkien, the Lord of the Rings, you ever seen those movies? I don't recommend them for little kids. I freak them out. The Lord of the Rings was Tolkien's understanding after reading the book of Revelation, the forces behind the natural world in which we see. That's why it's that middle, strange underworld. He viewed that as the world that played with the players upon the earth. And in one of those movies, I don't know which one it is, there is a darkness that's rolling across the land and it's eating up everything. Evil is coming, my friend. Darkness is coming. Could we suffer difficult days? Yes, but it has nothing to do with the Great Tribulation period. Could we be attacked? My friend, our brothers and sisters were attacked yesterday, wasn't it? Where were those people killed in church? Minnesota. Gunned down in worship. How many are dead? Anybody know now this morning? Six are dead. Could be more. There's a lot of people hurt. In church. It was not the Great Tribulation for them. God didn't let them down. There's evil in the world. You might say this morning, well, I got time. How do you know if there's not gunmen waiting outside this building? How do you know if there's not a banana you're going to slip on and break your neck? Just off the site of the property. How do you know you're going to go home today? I'm sorry, this week I'm standing there and standing in the bathroom, Lisa's standing there, and I had this sharp pain right here. And I grabbed my chest and she goes, what's the matter with you? I go, I'm just having a real stabbing pain in my chest. And she goes, oh, you know. Generated a huge response on her part. But I'm going, and my first thought was, Lord, please, don't, if this is it, make it it. And make it a big one, God. And I'm waiting. And then it's like, all right, okay. All right, I guess I'm okay. Hey, you know what? My request was, Make it the big one. Don't leave me halfway there. Why? Because I'm going to heaven, my friend. You might say, well, you're very fatalistic. Oh, no, I'm the most optimistic person that you want to be around. Because, my friend, I hope Jesus comes back today. I can't get any more optimistic than that. I can't wait to go to heaven. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would fill our hearts with a boldness and excitement and a joy. These things that you have written for us are for our learning. And Father, we know that as we look to this portion of Scripture and as we put this chapter behind us, we want to give you all the praise and glory for what we are not going to experience. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called En Route to Babylon, Mankind's Final Stand, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. En Route to Babylon, Mankind's Final Stand, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, everybody. I'm in the studio with my friend Pastor Jack. How you doing, Pastor Jack?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing good, thanks. So, vacation time, we're around the Independence Day season.
Yep.
I know just from, you know, sitting in the congregation for years, you're a big fan of history, to say it lightly.
Yes.
So that brings us to our book of the month. It's called 100 Bible Verses That Made America by Robert J. Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
For years, you know, debate has raged over a simple question. Was America founded as a Christian nation? And I'm hoping this book might clear some of that up for us.
It's remarkable because the answer to that question is one that no one could have ever seen coming. So here's what I mean by that. To find out the answer, it's very simple. All you have to do is read two paragraphs. That makes the announcement. It's called the Mayflower Compact.
Yeah.
Everybody can read it online right now. And it's very clear. It says, we've come here to establish a land where we can freely preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
That settled, we have founding fathers who wrote and drew up for us a constitution, a bill of rights, and Declaration of Independence that offers up the exact same liberties for all people, including atheists. This is what's brilliant. Our fathers were so secure in their faith that what they did was they established a form of government that the atheist and the believer have the exact same freedoms.
Awesome.
I love that because that's just the nature of our God, you know? So, it's tremendous. And we live in still to this day, the most unique nation on the face of the planet.
Right. One last little bit here. This book is set up in a devotional format.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recommend this be something that you sit down and go through on a daily basis with your family or a weekly basis with them?
It would absolutely be awesome to do that very thing because it covers topics and the chapters are small,
yeah,
devotionally styled, as you just said. So, for example, I'm looking at September 26, 1789, the founder who walked with God. And the verse reference is, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him, Genesis 3:24. And here, this particular chapter, look, you can look at it yourself. It's very small,
mm-hmm,
but very powerful, which means this, Davey. Somebody can get incredible American history, incredible biblical application, and learn from those who have gone on before us, which is exactly what we're supposed to do anyway. And so, oh, and by the way, that guy was John Jay.
No kidding.
A profound believer, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, and the first Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court was a man who said, mind you, that every Christian needs to vote, and every Christian needs to pray and consider getting involved in running for politics. And that's exactly what we need today.
It is indeed. Thanks for your time, Pastor Jack. 100 Bible Verses That Made America. It's yours for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.